Turn with me now, if you would, to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. And let's read our text, which is going to be verses 35 to 44. Mark 6, verse 35 says, "And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, and into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Now here's the account that we have before us. These people, I'm sure you know this story well, don't you? These people are out in a desert place where there is nothing. They have nothing. They brought nothing with them. But the Lord, in His goodness and in His mercy, He took something that was so small, something that seemed so insufficient, and He blessed it. And He said to His disciples, "Now I want you to take this to the people and I want you to feed them with it." Every soul who was there that day, every soul that reached inside that basket out of a true need, I mean a true need, and I stress that, I would stand here and say that for the next 20 minutes. Out of a true need. Every soul that reached inside that basket pulled out something that satisfied their soul. Every single one of them. Now, as we just saw with Naaman, this is the gospel. This right here is the gospel. Verse 35 says, "And when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, This is a desert place." I don't know of a more fearful truth than that right there. This is a desert place. Springfield, Missouri is a desert place. Kingsport, Tennessee is a desert place. The United States of America is a desert place. The world we live on is a desert place. See if you can find the book of Amos with me. If your Bible is at all like mine, mine's on page 1147. That may help you or hurt you, I don't know. But Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8. I'll give you just a second. It's after Joel. It's after Hosea. It's after Daniel. Amos chapter 8. And look with me at verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Now, materially speaking, everybody's doing fine. We're all doing fine. There are even brethren down in Mexico who don't have floors. We're all doing fine. There is something, though, that we don't have. This land we live in does not have anymore. We don't have it plentifully anymore. And that is the actual words of the Lord. They are getting harder and harder to find. To go into a place that will actually preach and declare and read and study the words of the Lord. Men and women are not holding it anymore. They're not holding it anymore. They keep making all these translations of the Bible, all of these versions of the Bible. And what they say they're doing is they're trying to make it easier to understand. The Word of God is easy enough to understand. Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. Isn't that right? The Word of God could not be clearer. Men just don't like it. It's not that they don't understand it. They just don't like it. And in trying to explain it, they just explain it away. This is a desert place. The truth of this, though, it goes much deeper. It goes much, much deeper than that. Look at Matthew 4 with me. Matthew chapter 4. Matthew 4 verse 1 says, Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now that is the absolute truth. Our Lord is not saying that metaphorically. That is the absolute truth. God has given man 70. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. But 70. And during those 70 years, if a man or a woman does not eat physical bread, he will die. He won't make it 70 years. Isn't that right? That is only a physical death. That's all that is. After a man leaves this earth and goes to meet God, if that man has not received, if that man has not tasted and fed on and been nourished by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, he will die spiritually for all eternity. A spiritual death. Man shall not live forever by bread alone. But man is going to live forever by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not one word shall fail. I can't help but adore the thought of you'll, I believe, love this. I was down in Mexico years ago, and Brother Cody Groover had his Bible sitting on the coffee table. And I don't speak Spanish. I don't read Spanish. But I was curious if I could understand it based on some scriptures I knew and could quote. So I opened up his Bible to Psalm 23. And Psalm 23, verse 1 in Spanish said, Jehovah es mi pastor. The Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah is my pastor. And when I heard that, I thought, that's exactly right. The Lord is my pastor. Can you not wait to get up to the great congregation and watch our Lord Jesus Christ step up into the pulpit and say, turn with me to Genesis 1:1. How long could he spend preaching from in the beginning God, telling us everything that happened in the beginning before he ever created all this? The Lord is my pastor. Don't you love that? Man is not going to live forever by bread alone. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, we all must understand. We all must enter into the fact that we are not born into this world naturally possessing this spiritual bread. We're not born perfect little beings and then, oops, we sinned and lost it. That's not how it is. This right here, this heart, this man, what's inside us is a desert place. This is a desert place. That's what our text is telling us here. Go back to Mark 6 with me. Mark 6, verse 35 says, And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. What the disciples are saying here is, we don't have anything for them. He said, send them away that they may go buy something to eat. We don't have anything for them. They're saying, we can't feed them. This great multitude is here. And this is a desert place, and we can't feed them. And I'm going to tell you something. I know this feeling. I know it well. I know it well. I was feeling it. I've been feeling it all week. Lord, I'm about to get on an airplane and fly out to a desert place. And you have some sheep out there who are hungry. And they need to be fed. And I can't feed them. I just can't. I can try to be as nice, you all, make you like me and all that kind of stuff, but I can't feed you. I just can't feed you. God, I know, I'm convinced, God gives His ministers, those who He has given this task of serving in feeding, He gives His ministers a heart for His sheep. God said, feed them. The servants say, Lord, how? How? How can I feed them? I've said this many times to the brethren in Kingsport. I believe I mean it. I do. I believe I mean it. If the time comes that the gospel is not clearly preached in Kingsport, Tennessee, I want those sheep to leave Kingsport, Tennessee. I mean that. I have one desire for them. I want them to feed on the Word of God. I want them to be fed by the Spirit of God. And if that time comes when I leave it, then they need to leave Kingsport, Tennessee. They either need to fire me, they either need to kick me out, send me packing, or leave themselves. There is one thing needful. I mean, there is one thing needful. I need to hear the gospel. You need to hear the gospel. We have one thing needful. We need our eyes opened to Christ. We need our hearts opened to Christ. We need to be saved. We need to be called, and we need to feed on Him. And I mean it. I tell them, if you don't hear it, there's one thing needful. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Our Lord said this, and this applies to me. I want this to apply to me. I want this to apply to you. He said, buy the truth and sell it not. Buy the truth and sell it not. Well, back over in Mark 6 here, verse 35 says, and when the day was now far spent, His disciples came unto Him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. That's what He said. Give ye them to eat. Don't send them away. They're here at the feet of Christ. They've all come to the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. They've brought their need to Him. Don't send them away. You feed them. I want you to feed them. I love this right here. Go with me over to John 21. John chapter 21. John 21, verse 12 says, Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask Him, saying, who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. Same thing He's given to this great multitude, bread and fish. This is now the third time that Jesus showed Himself to His disciples after that He was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And He's pointing at Simon just said, I'm going back to fishing. Right? And they fished all night and they didn't catch anything. And He said, cast your net on the other side. And there was a great multitude of fish and they couldn't hardly get it in the boat. And one of them told Peter, it's the Lord. Peter took his robe off and jumped in the water. And they finally drugged all that fish to land. Here his whole life is there. They got their boat, they got the nets, they got the fish. Our Lord points at all that stuff and He said, Simon, do you love me more than these? He's not saying the other apostles. You love me more than your brethren. He's talking about all the worldly stuff. You love me more than these. And this is great mercy. This right here, I hope you enjoy this as much as I do. Simon Peter, I'll tell you this first, he's also the one who denied the Lord. Isn't that right? And he was so disturbed by it, so distraught by it, he had to think, I don't belong to Him. I'm going back to fishing. I'm just going back to fishing. Our Lord right here, verse 15, He said, when He had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? You know why he was grieved? He was sitting there remembering his denial. They said, you were with him, weren't you? And he said, no. I don't know him. They said, we saw you with him. You are one of his. He said, no, I'm not. I can't stand that man. Crucify him. They finally said, your speech is betraying you. you're one of his. And he started cussing that man. I cuss that man. I hate him. I hate him. And here he is thinking, I denied my Lord. And God looked straight at him and he said, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes. He said, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes. He said, Simon, do you love me? He said in verse 17, Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said unto him, then feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. You comfort them. If you love me, you give them what will nourish them, what will satisfy them, what will sustain them. What's that? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Feed my sheep. That's what our Lord is telling His disciples in the text. If you love me, you feed my sheep. Back in Mark chapter 6, verse 37 says, He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? Over in John's account of this same story, Philip is the one who said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. What he said was, Lord, we have 200 pennies. And if we go buy 200 pennies worth of bread, this crowd is so big, that's not enough for everybody to have one crumb. If we break it into crumbs, it's not enough for every single person to have one crumb. And I'll tell you this, if this message is up to me, if the Lord leaves us to ourselves this morning, I don't even have crumbs for us. I really don't. I don't even have crumbs. Verse 38, He said unto them, How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Now, here they stand, and they have this food in their hands. Here they're holding some food. And they know that they have food in their hands. They can see clearly that they are holding some food in their hands. But what they cannot see is how they're going to feed the people with it. They can't see it. That is the position that God puts every one of His servants in that He has called to feed the sheep. Lord, I know that I have food here. I know I do. I know I do. But what I personally possess of this is so small. It is so insufficient. Who is sufficient for these things? With man, it's impossible, isn't it? It's impossible. What would you have me to do? Lord, I need you. I need you. I'm looking to you. What would you have me to do? Go with me over to Matthew's account of this. Matthew 14. Matthew 14, and look at verse 15 with me. And when it was evening, His disciples came to Him, saying, This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. But Jesus saith unto them, They need not depart. Give ye them to eat. And they say unto Him, We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, Bring them hither to me. Sounds like the last message, doesn't it? Bring them hither to me. That food that you hold in your hand, those words that you hold in your hand, bring them to me. Bring them to me. those who have come out of great need. And that's what God's people are. That's what sinners are. They are sinners in need. Those who have come out of a great need. Those who see the fact that they are nothing. And they have nothing. And if they stay in the desert place that they're in, they're going to die right there. If I stay in this desert place, if this heart stays in that desert place, I'm going to die right here. He said, you bring them to me. When you open up that word, bring them to me. You point them to me. If there's a spiritual hunger in that desert place, you tell them, I am the living bread. I'm the living bread. You tell them, come to me, and they'll never hunger again. Never again. David said, taste and see that the Lord is good. When God feeds His sheep with living bread, that sheep never hungers again. That sheep wanders in the wilderness to and fro looking for food. That sheep goes into this feeding place and can't find any food. Then he comes and goes into this feeding place and can't find food. There's no food, there's no sustenance, there's no satisfaction. And all of a sudden, God's Spirit feeds that sheep with living bread and he says, I'm satisfied. That's it. I'm satisfied. And as long as he stays right there, he'll never be unsatisfied. Never. Our Lord said, if they are thirsty, you tell my sheep to come to me and take the water of life freely. Drink. Drink. He said, if they're weary, you tell them to come to me and I'll give them rest. I'll give them rest. If they're broke, if they're flat broke, you tell them to come to me. You stand up and you cry, he that hath no money, come buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You just bring them to me. Bring them to me. Salvation is a real man. Salvation is a real man. This mind struggles and struggles and struggles trying to figure all this out. And the answer is this. Salvation is a real man. A real man. Eternal life is not a thing. Eternal life is a person. Heaven is not a place. Heaven is a person. If we get to this place and Christ is not there, that's not heaven. Heaven is a person. Salvation is a person. Eternal life is a person. There is a real man sitting on a throne right now. There is a real man sitting on a throne right now. There is a real man sitting in that chair right now. And more real than that man is right now is a man. God became a man. God became a man. There is a man. We're going to see a man. We're going to walk up to a man. We're going to talk to a man. We're going to hug a man. And through this man, one day we see him right now with eyes of faith. We don't know exactly what he looks like. And we don't know what we shall be when we see him. But we know when the trump resounds and the clouds separate, and this man descends, as soon as our eyes see him, we're going to be just like him. We'll all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And it's all because this man came down and gave himself for his people. And through the sacrifice of that man's blood, because that man shed his own blood, this is not a theory, this is something a man did. And because that man, out of his own love and his own heart, Because he came and emptied the blood, emptied himself of all but love, and bled for our helpless race. Because of that blood and because of that man, we're going to get to walk up to the throne of grace with the boldness that he's not going to kill us on sight. Because he dealt with our sins and they're gone. And we're going to find mercy and we're going to find grace to help in time of need. All because of this man. I'm going to tell you this. I can feed on that. That tastes really good to me. That tastes so delicious to me. Taste and see that that man is so good. He is so good. Back over in Mark chapter 6, verse 38 says, Mark 6, verse 38, He saith unto them, How many loaves have you? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. When it comes to the issue of life, the quickening, the feeding of the soul, man must sit down. He just must. He must. God must do it all. Verse 39 says, He commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And here we sit. Everybody's in ranks. And maybe one of these days we'll be in here by hundreds and fifties. Here we sit, ready and waiting. Verse 41, And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves. He is the one who did this. He is the one who did this. He took it. He looked up to heaven. He blessed it. And he broke it. That is how this gift of life was given to us. He said, A body hast thou prepared me, and he took it. For 33 and a half years, this man walked this earth perfectly looking up to heaven, always in perfect communion with his Father, absolute perfection. And God his Father blessed it. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He's the only man who was ever well pleasing to the Father. Don't you love how it says in Isaiah, Behold my servant, mine elect. That's talking about Christ. Do you know who God chose? Christ. God chose Christ. You know who God elected? Christ. If I'm in Him, I'm elect in Him. If I'm not in Him, I'm not elect in Him. But it all hinges on Him. God chose Him. God blessed it. He said, This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And then God the Father broke it. Our Lord said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost. He said, This is my body which was broken for you. This is my body which was broken for you. Verse 41, When he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. That's amazing, isn't it? That's amazing. I thought about a couple of things as I was envisioning that scenario. I'm sure that they started feeding the people at the front of the crowd. Can't you see all these people sitting in rows? And they're all facing the Lord, right? And the disciples are up there with the Lord because He hands these things to them and says, you feed the people with this. And here they start. They have these baskets. And the other Gospels say, 5,000 men beside the women and children. They had families. Back then they had large families. So a family of four would be 20,000 people. And more children than that, there could be 25, 30, 50, who knows how many, thousands of people. Huge crowd of people. Can't you envision some of the people in the back? Looking at each other, scared to death, worried as they look up and they see what He did. They saw Him take it, look up to heaven and bless it, break it, gave it to the messengers, and the messengers are giving it to the people. And can't you see them thinking, oh, I hope there's enough for me. Are they going to make it all the way back here to the back? And they see people up there being fed, reaching in, filled. I read about men like Abraham. I read about men like Moses. I read about men like David and Solomon and Isaiah and Jeremiah. And I read about men like Paul and Peter and James and John. And I think, oh, I hope there's enough left for me. Is there going to be one crumb left for me? Is the work that Christ did, I see that Christ just did a work. Is the work that Christ did enough for all who come to Him? Will there be anything left for me? Peter finally walks up with that basket, and that man looks at Peter and he says, is there anything left in that basket? He says, all you can hold. Reach in. Reach in for more. Put that in your pocket and reach in again. All you can hold. Our Lord said, open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. Isn't that what He said? I love how David said, my cup is running over. I can see Him with goodness and mercy, so happy and excited. Wait a minute. All of this goodness, all of this mercy, my cup is running over. Grab another cup, David. I thought about the apostles too. Bless their hearts. Here they are passing the food out. Trust me, they're hungry too. They're doing what their God told them to do. They're feeding the people. And you know what's going through their mind? I'm telling you, I know what's going through their mind. I hope there's something here for me too. I would love to eat today too. Is there going to be anything left for me? Will there be literally one crumb left for me? I'm dishing this all out. I would love to have some too. Our Lord said, you give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together. Isn't that what He said? 12 apostles passed out all of this food. And when it was all said and done, there was 12 baskets of food left over. One for every apostle. You just can't outgive the Lord. I'm telling you, you cannot outgive the Lord. Give it all. You can't outgive the Lord. His word will not return void. Open your mouth, He will fill it. Seek, you'll find. And we know it's because the Father in His kindness is drawing us. When a sinner comes to Christ, he finds out. This is what he finds out. Not only is Christ all I need. Not only is He all I need. This is what he finds out. He is unsearchable riches. He's unsearchable riches. Wealth that can never be told. Once a sinner has Him, he realizes, I have it all. I literally have it all. I have it all. Now, I'll close with this question for every one of us. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? Am I hungry? Go to Him. He said, bring them to me. If you're hungry, and oh, I pray God would make us hungry. If you're hungry, go to Him. He will feed your soul. He truly will feed your empty soul. Thank God He feeds mine. He feeds mine too. He's so good. He's so kind. We feed on Him. I just want to tell each one of you that I've known you now for, with the exception of these two, I've known you for a solid probably 18 hours. And I love you. I love you in Christ. I really do. I pray the Lord will bless the work here. I pray the Lord will bless all of your hearts, all the generations that are here. I pray for you all back here in the back. You all could be the future of this ministry. God could give you believing spouses. He could give you believing children. He could do great wonders here. And I pray for you. I pray the Lord will strengthen you in the days ahead. I pray He'll comfort your hearts. I pray for these men who are coming. May God bless them. Give them the message. May God feed this place. And may it all be for His glory and His honor. Let's close with one more word of prayer, okay? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. Lord, thank You for this gathering. We know that You have brought us here. You have gathered us together. We desire to be Your sheep, Lord. We long for the Great Shepherd. Would You please take this glorious word and feed our hearts with it? Lord, would You please bless us by Your Spirit? Feed us, and would You allow us to feed on this for the days ahead? We do pray for Your gospel everywhere You've raised it up. We do pray for every man. We pray for every brother and sister. We pray for every ministry. Lord, may You receive all glory and honor in all things. Thank You for choosing us, and thank You for showing mercy to us. May You give us the ability to declare this gospel. Declare to others how great things the Lord has done for us. And would You bless it according to Your will? We ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen.